If you have your Bibles this morning, and I hope that you do, I want to invite you to join me in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 20 in its entirety this morning. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And I'm going to ask that whenever you find your place there this morning, that you would stand with me as we honor the reading of the beautiful Word of God. Luke chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 20 together. And I just want to kind of give you a heads up as to where we're going these next several weeks. Today we're looking at Luke chapter 1. Next week we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1 and talk about how Jesus is our Emmanuel and He is here with us. The following week, December the 19th, we're going to look at John chapter 1 and how Jesus is the light of the world. Luke chapter 2 says this, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, for they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Would you pray with me this morning? God, we come before your throne, God, today, simply thanking you, God, for the birth of Christ and the work of Christ and the example of Christ and what Christ has done for us. And God, we just pray today that this story would come alive to us as we think about just the meaning of this text and what it means. God, may we just think about it in a new light and in a new way. May this Christmas season, God, maybe be different than it has been in the past seasons. God, I know that in this room, especially as we get ready to celebrate more holidays, the Christmas season, the birth of Christ, that there are people that are in this room that are participating that it might be a difficult time for them, whether it brings up memories from the past or the loss of loved ones that are not here with us any longer. God, we just ask and pray that this would be a day of comfort for them as well. God, that you would remind them today that you understand. You understand what they faced. You understand what they're going through today. You understand their loneliness. And Father, we just look today to you and understand that you are the hope of the world, that you are the only hope. You're the only hope for us. You're the only hope for this community. You're the only hope for America. You're the only hope for every person on the planet. So, Father, help us to see that today, where we would be without the birth of Christ. God, speak to our hearts today as only you can. We love you, we love you, we love you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. We live in a day of what we would call instant news. At a moment's notice, if something happens on the other side of the world because of the internet, because of social media, through our phones, through a tablet, through a computer, through a news source, through our TVs, in almost in a moment, We can hear about something just like that that happened from all over on the other side of the world. And usually the news that we hear most of the time is what? It's bad news, right? It's devastating news. It's difficult news. And every time we hear some sort of good news that happens, it's almost like it is an instant relief. It's such a relief to hear good news. And I submit to you today, church family, that the greatest news that has ever been announced to mankind was the news that the angel shared with the shepherds. Whenever the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And the word good news that the angel uses here is the Greek word euangelizo. It's where we get our English word evangelism from. You see, to evangelize someone is to simply tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ saves, that Jesus Christ loves, that Jesus Christ forgives. The word Savior that the angel uses here could also be translated as deliverer. Yes, the good news about the birth of Jesus Christ is that He saves, is that He forgives, is that He loves, but also He delivers. And this is who our God is. All throughout the Old Testament, we see God delivering His people. He delivers His people from slavery. He delivers His people from famine. He delivers His people from exile and even from their sin through a sacrificial system. And we need to understand today that as this was who our God was then, our God still delivers today. The good news of the birth of Jesus Christ is that Jesus delivers from the power of sin. Jesus delivers from the power of sin. You see, whenever we are born, because of the fall of Adam and Eve, you remember that story in the Garden of Eden. Because of the fall of Adam and Eve, we are born into sin. We are born with sin having power over us. We are born corrupted by sin. We are born enslaved by sin. We are born dead to sin. The Bible tells us that we are born as enemies of God. Listen to what Scripture says about us apart from Christ and because of Christ. Paul said it like this: "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." So Paul is saying, without Christ, that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. He says that we are following Satan, the prince of the power of the air. He says that we are children of wrath. He also says it like this in Romans 5, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life." He's saying, without Christ, we are enemies of God. He also says it like this in Romans 6. Paul says, "Since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised to life as He was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives." He says, "We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin." You see, without Christ, he is saying, again, we are slaves to sin. But with Christ, we are set free from the power of sin. Paul says it like this in Galatians chapter 4. "In the same way, we also, when we were children, this means before faith in Christ, he says, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world." Again, he's saying, without Christ, before Christ, we are enslaved to our sin. Paul says to Titus, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But he says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Peter says it like this: his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Again, what all of these texts are saying is that without Jesus Christ, without the hope of Christ that he offers, that sin has power over us. We are corrupted by sin. We are enslaved to sin. We are dead in our sin. We are enemies of God. And the greatest news ever known to mankind is that Jesus is a deliverer. He is the deliverer, and Jesus delivers from the power of sin. In my house, I have a 12-year-old son. Is Colson in here? He's back in the back. A good way to never be in a pastor's illustration is not to be a pastor's child. So I apologize, Colson. But in my house, I have a son, Colson, and he's always coming up to me saying, "Dad, let's wrestle. Let's fight, Dad. Let's arm wrestle." I'm like, "Colson, you know how this is going to turn out." The same way it always turns out. "Well, I got you today, Dad. Let's arm wrestle. I'm going to use both of my hands." I'm like, "Okay. Let's arm wrestle, Colson." You see, right now, I have power over Colson. I have physical power over Colson. And I understand one day when he's like 96 or 97 years old, he will no longer have power over me. I understand that. But right now, and in the many years moving forward, I got power over Colson. Right, Colson? Oh, he says, "No, okay. We'll see. After church, we'll see. All right." But you know the one thing that I can never, ever, ever have power over myself? My own sin. You see, without Christ, without Jesus, without the deliverer, my sin wins every single time against me. You see, only Christ can deliver one from the desire to lust. Only Christ can deliver from addiction. Only Christ can deliver one from the desire to cheat, to steal, to covet, to lie. Only Christ can deliver one from the desire to gossip and slander. Only Christ can deliver one from the desire to do evil. Only Christ can deliver one from the desire to hurt another human being. So what does this mean for you and I today, church family? Well, today, this calls you and I today, this Christmas season, it calls you and I today to surrender our lives fully to Jesus Christ for salvation if you never have. To surrender fully to Jesus. Why? Because without Christ, we are dead in our sin. Without Christ, apart from Christ, if one were to die, he, she would go to a very real place that the Bible talks about, called hell. So it begs this question: how does one, knowing these truths, surrender their life to Jesus Christ? I'm glad you asked. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What's that mean? That means that you are making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that he is the king of your life, that he is the guide of your life, he is the boss of your life. And then you trust in your heart that the finished work of Christ on the cross was enough to pay the penalty and the sin, the penalty for your sin and my sin for salvation. Paul says, you will be saved, for with the heart one believes. You see, it's with your heart, not just your mind, it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. And with the mouth you confess and you are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So how does one surrender their life fully to Jesus Christ? Jesus must be your King. He must be your Lord. Then the Bible tells us this, that after you surrender your life to Christ, the Bible makes it very clear that His Spirit comes to dwell inside of you, giving you the power to overcome sin. Paul says it like this, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel, that's the good news of your salvation, and believed in Him, he says that you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You trust on the gospel, you believe in the gospel for salvation. You're sealed with His Spirit. His Spirit comes to dwell inside of you. You see, without the indwelt Spirit of Christ, you and I cannot overcome sin on our own. You see, His Spirit alone, Christ alone, gives us the strength and the power to overcome sin. And then the Bible makes it very clear that after one trusts in Christ for salvation, the Bible makes it very clear that they are new creations, that you've been born again. Paul says it like this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself. You see, you trust in Christ and He makes you a brand new person. You're born again. Of the birth of Christ, Zechariah said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people. You see, through Christ alone, we are redeemed. Through Christ alone, we are new creations. And then after one trusts in Christ for salvation comes believer's baptism, just like we saw a few moments ago with Nick. You see, in the Bible, every time someone trusted in Christ for salvation, they were immediately baptized by immersion. If you go and you read the book of Acts, and you see the onset of the early church as the gospel was going out to the world. Every time someone would receive the gospel, they were immediately baptized to show the world that they were identifying as one who was surrendering fully to Jesus Christ. Here's one small example. When they believed Philip as he preached good news. What's that? That's the gospel. The good news about the kingdom of heaven and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. You see, baptism is the way that Christians show the world, again, that they are following Jesus, that they are fully surrendering as a Christ follower. And then, after we trust in Christ for salvation, and we are made new, we are born again, and we follow Him in believers' baptism, what comes next? We depend on Him and His indwelt Spirit every single day to walk in holiness, to overcome sin by Christ alone dwelling and living inside of us. Jesus Himself said it like this, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from the Deliverer, the Savior, the King, apart from Him, we have no power over our sin. It's only through Christ indwelt inside of us. Again, the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ is that Jesus delivers from the power of sin. Next, the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ is that Jesus delivers from the penalty of sin. From the penalty of sin. And I understand that if you've been around church for a while, you've heard things like this. But my prayer for us today is that we would fully come to grasp what Christ has delivered us from this Christmas season. I think when we can fully come to grasp what Christ has delivered us from, it makes us worship a little bit more, makes us a little bit more thankful, makes us a little bit more inclined to go and tell the world about the good news of Christ. Paul says it like this, for the wages of sin, in other words, what we deserve is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. How? In Christ Jesus our Lord. One theological dictionary defines this word death, okay, defines it like this, death as the miserable state of the wicked dead in hell. That's what we deserve because of sin, but Christ delivers us from the penalty of sin. One theological website that I trust and follow shares this. They write, Jesus talked about hell more than any other person in the Bible. In Luke 16, he describes a great chasm over which none may cross from there to us. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells of a time when people will be separated into two groups, one entering into his presence and the other banished to eternal fire. Jesus doesn't only reference hell, he describes it in great detail. He says it is a place of eternal torment, of unquenchable fire, where the worm does not die, where people will gnash their teeth in anguish and regret, and from which there is no return, even to warn loved ones. He calls hell a place of outer darkness, comparing it to Gehenna, which was a trash dump outside of the walls of Jerusalem, where rubbish was burned and maggots abounded. Jesus talks about hell more than he talks about heaven and describes it more vividly. There is no denying that Jesus knew, believed, and warned about the absolute reality of hell. One seminary professor by the name of Dustin Binge says, "A millisecond glimpse into hell would cause us to shed this world's petty squabbles and would set us ablaze with the gospel. Hell is real. Does that set you ablaze with the gospel? We need preachers who still preach God is holy. Sin is damning. Hell is real. Salvation is available. Death is coming and Jesus is returning." You see, church family, the worst part of hell is eternal separation from God Almighty. But, as we're talking today, the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ is that Jesus delivers from the penalty of sin, which is hell. You see, if I get a speeding ticket, I may have to pay a couple hundred bucks for the fine. If I'm late on a bill, the penalty may be a couple of percent interest. If one commits a foul in basketball, the penalty may be a couple of free throws for the other team. But the worst penalty that one could ever pay is the penalty of sin. Hell, eternal separation from God, eternal torment, eternal darkness. Therefore, this is why we trust in Christ now and follow Him now before it's too late. You see, today is the day of salvation. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. Again, the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ is that Jesus delivers from the penalty of sin and Jesus delivers from the power of sin. And then next, because of what Christ has done for us, because He has delivered us from the penalty of sin, because He has delivered us from the power of sin, we are delivered to be ambassadors for Christ. This word ambassador simply means to be a representative. Paul says it like this: in Christ, God reconciles the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we, talking to the church, you, me, us, every person, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making His appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So let's ask this question this morning. How can we be ambassadors for Christ? How can we be ambassadors for Christ? Number one, by living like He could return for His church at any moment. You see, the last words that we have on record from Christ are this. The last words of Christ in Revelation 22 were, "Behold, I am coming soon." Last thing He said to us. Jesus Himself said this: "Stay dressed, ready for action. Keep your lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." How can we be ambassadors for Christ? By living our lives every single day like He could return at any moment. You see, the first time Christ came, He came as a humble baby, but He's not coming back as a baby. He's coming back as a conquering king for His followers. How can we live like Christ can return at any moment? Number one, by living with an eternal perspective. That knowing that one day all of this is going to be gone. In 100 years, all new people on the planet. By living with an eternal perspective. Paul says, set your mind on things above. Not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Paul's saying, think about the things of eternity. Live like Christ could appear at any moment. How can we live like Christ can return at any moment? Number two, by making every decision in life through the lens of the Word of God. If the Word of God says it, do it. Trust it. Even if it's difficult, even if it goes against my flesh, even if it goes against the culture. How else can we live like Christ can return at any moment? Number three, by making the worship and the things of God my number one priority. One pastor recently said, his name's Kevin DeYoung, he says, if we have no interest in a holy God now, why do we think we ought to be with him for eternity? You see, church family, we can be ambassadors for Christ by living like he could return for his church at any moment. How else? How else can we be ambassadors for Christ, knowing what he has done for us, that he has delivered us from the penalty and the power of sin? And this really should be the first thing. The next one, by telling others about the good news of Jesus Christ. And we call this evangelism. The greatest gift that we can give someone else this Christmas is the gift of Christ. You see, the only hope for your coworker that you can't stand is Jesus Christ. That's the only hope. The only hope for your son or daughter is Jesus Christ. The only hope for that mean neighbor that you have is Jesus Christ. The only hope for your parent or a sibling or a family member is Jesus Christ. The only hope for your teammates, students, your friends, students, is Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said this, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. In other words, he's saying there are people all around us who need Jesus Christ. Everywhere you go, in your own homes, in your workplaces, in your schools, students, everywhere we go, there are people who need Jesus Christ, and he is their only hope. He is the only hope. Again, the good news of the birth of Christ is that he is our great deliverer. He delivers from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin, and we are delivered to be his representatives all throughout the world. Every place that we go, in our jobs, our homes, every place we go, we are called to be his ambassadors. And lastly, the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ is that we are delivered into eternal life. We are delivered into eternal life. John says it like this. This is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. It's the greatest gift we could ever receive, right? It's the greatest gift this Christmas season that you could ever receive if you never fully trusted in Christ and submitted your life to Christ. It's eternal life. What we need the most today is Christ. You don't need that next greatest gadget, the next greatest home, the next greatest car, the next greatest thing on Amazon. What you need the most is Christ. This life is in his Son. You see, you'll never truly have life unless you find it in Christ alone. But we are delivered into eternal life. And I debated whether or not to read this next text, but I just want to. It comes from the end of Revelation where John is describing heaven. But look at what the great reward is. You see, church family, can I just remind you and I today that our great reward is not on this earth. Our great reward is in the heavens with Christ. Christ in his fullness. But I want to read to you today, and I understand we've got just a few more moments left, but just bear with me. I want to read to you today the great reward that is waiting on Christ's followers. Let this inspire you to keep on going. He's worth it. It's worth it. It's going to be so worth it. John says it like this, he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels. And on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. And on the east, 3 gates. And on the north, 3 gates. And the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold. That's cool. Isn't that amazing? A measuring rod of gold. Not just your good old tape measure. Measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. Think about this. The city, this is just the city of God. And it's not far off. Eternity is closer than we think. Lies four square, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia. Looked that up this morning. That's 1,380 miles. Says it like this. Its length and width and height are equal. So you stand in the middle. It's 1,300 miles this way, almost 1,400 miles this way, almost 1,400 miles that way, 1,400 miles that way, 1,400 miles that way. Talk about a city. No city like it. He also measured its wall, 144 cubits. I think that's around 200 feet thick by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold like clear glass. Ladies, you like jewelry? There's lots of it in heaven. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper. Second, sapphire. The third, agate. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, onyx. The sixth, carnelian. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprase. The 11th, jacinth. The 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass, no more potholes. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. In other words, all the nations are going to be there from every tribe, tongue, and nation. But nothing unclean will ever enter it. In other words, no sin, no more hurt, no more pain, no more loss, no more sickness, no more cancer, no more disease. Nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the only way that we can have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life is by fully trusting in Christ, the one who delivers us from sin. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on the either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed. I mean, nothing bad in heaven. But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face. We'll get to see him face to face. His name will be on their foreheads. A night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. You looking forward to that great day? I'm looking forward to that great day. Folks, it's not far. I'm not trying to be morbid today. I understand it's the Christmas season. But this Christmas season, let's just remember what Christ was born for. He wasn't born just to be a baby swaddled in swaddling clothes in a little manger. He was born to go to a cross and to die a horrendous death, a death that we can't even fathom, to take on the full wrath of God Almighty, to deliver you and I from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin, that we might be his ambassadors, living for the glory of his name with all our days until he calls us up to heaven, whether that be by his rapture or by death. It is worth it. It is worth it. We're delivered into eternal life. And we are also delivered into an eternal family, and that is called the church. And we get to start practicing that today through his church. In closing, I want to read few lyrics from this amazing song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Mild he lays his glories by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Maybe you're in this place today and you never have trusted in Christ. You've never fully surrendered your life to Jesus for salvation. Again, why do you need to do that? Well, just based on what we said a few moments ago, that we are all dead in our sin. We have no power over our sin apart from Christ. Therefore, would you come to Him today and surrender your life fully to Him? Listen, when you come to Christ, you may think that you lose everything. Listen, you lose nothing. You gain everything. You gain the things that we just talked about. Would you come to Him today? He's worth it. He wants you to surrender your full life to Him today and to follow Him. Some, maybe you never have. If you never have and you feel this longing at your heart, this begging at your heart today to do so, that's His Spirit drawing you to salvation. Maybe you could say this to God today and mean this from the depths of your heart. Say this to God. You could repeat these words after me. I want to help you. We want to help you today. You could say this to God. God, I understand that I need Jesus. I understand the power of sin. I understand the penalty of sin. And I understand that Jesus Christ is the only way that I can have my sin forgiven and me be washed clean and made new. So today I call on Jesus to save me. I place my faith and my trust in Jesus. I confess that Jesus is my Lord. And I commit my life to follow Him from this point forward. And if you said that to God today and meant that from the depths of your heart, we celebrate with you. The Bible calls you a Christian. The Bible says that you are safe in the arms of God, that if you were to pass away today, that you would go directly to be with Jesus in the heavens. But now you are delivered from sin, its power and penalty, now to be an ambassador for Christ in your workplace, in your home, in your school. You are now given new life to be an ambassador, to be a representative of Jesus. And the next step for you is this, is believer's baptism. Just like you saw Nick a few moments ago, he came into the waters to show the world that he is identifying as one who has surrendered to Jesus. Would you let us know about your decision today through filling out that little piece of paper in your bulletin and placing it in the offering plate, or letting myself know, or Tyson know, or one of our deacons or our elders? Maybe you're in this place and you have trusted in Christ, but you've never followed that through with believer's baptism. Let us know about that so that we can help you and guide you in what's next and celebrate with the world what God has done in your life. Jesus, we love you. Thank you so much for the greatest gift. The greatest gift, and the greatest gift is eternal life. The greatest gift is Jesus. Thank you for the fact that you deliver from the power of sin. Even in our temptations, every single day, you give us the strength by your indwelt Spirit to overcome the power of sin. You deliver us from the penalty of sin. God, may we never get over the gospel and what Christ has done for us, that hell is a very real place and we have been delivered from it because of the shed blood of Christ and by faith in Him. So God, help us to be ambassadors today as we go home, as we go to lunch, as we go to our schools and our workplaces tomorrow, and as we play on basketball teams and sports activities, and as we go to meals, and as we go to family gatherings, as we just do normal life, God, use us, this church, this little body, to be a representative unto the world, unto the nations. Give us opportunities this week to simply tell people that Jesus loves them, that Jesus is good, that He delivers, that He's the way, He's the hope, He's the truth. Just give us just these simple moments, God, this week, this Christmas season, to tell people about your goodness, to tell people about the hope that we have and that we're holding on to. God, thank you for those little moments that you give us to tell the world that Jesus is good. We pray for those this week, that you would give us opportunities to be your ambassador. And God, we thank you today that we're delivered into eternal life. We can't even fathom, we can't even wrap our minds around eternity. So God, help us, God, to live each day like you could return at any moment for us, for your church. God, remind us daily that We only have a few short moments on this earth, but eternity's forever. So, Father, help us as we go about our daily lives, as we raise families, as we work jobs, try to make ends meet, live in the hustle and bustle of the world. So we just do life, a life that a lot of times is harsh and difficult, a life a lot of times that doesn't make sense. God, help us, God, to live with an eternal perspective, that one day that you're going to right all the wrongs. One day it'll all make sense. One day we're going to get to see you and your beauty face to face, as we just read about. God, help us to understand that it will be worth it, even though it's difficult at times. We thank you, God, for your Spirit that helps us to make it another day. Without your Spirit, without your indwelt Spirit inside of us, we could not do it. We could not make it. So God, lead us and guide us and use us to be your representatives this week. We love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you for Jesus. We worship him. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, would you stand to your feet and sing this song of worship about our Savior, about Jesus Christ and what he has done for us?